Hello and welcome back to another episode of Error Code Coffee.
Hey, we could do the Wild West thing.
Hey, we got no taking backsies.
Okay. Let's do it again.
No, it was good enough.
Well, howdy doodle.
Doodle D. How's it going, sir?
And my audio peaked too.
Nice. Yeah, we were f***ed out. Howdy doodle.
Good afternoon, sir. All right. I'm sorry. I'm tired, I guess. I don't know.
You are?
Yeah, just tired of life, you know.
That's basically every intro we've had.
Yeah, I guess. No, that's not true.
Oh, I'm tired of life.
No. That's not true.
Oh.
Are you goofy?
I mind money.
I didn't even turn off my phone, so that's great.
There's still time.
Do not disturb for an hour, maybe. Okay, it's worse. Yeah. Okay. This is part of the episode. This is like a little peek into how our
I'm gonna cut this out. Fuck off. This is useless.
Okay. You're not useless. Okay, let's try again, right?
Behind the scenes, guys.
Oh, so funny. All right. You want to start?
Yes. Are we talking about... Yeah, that's the only episode we haven't talked about yet.
All right.
Hello and welcome to Error Code Coffee. We said we shouldn't do this intro.
Yeah.
And start a regular conversation and then kind of make it an organic start of the episode.
Yeah, like you're listening into us talking to each other.
Yeah, but our life isn't that interesting.
Well, maybe we should just record next time when we're talking.
That's what we were doing.
What?
Yeah, and we started making really bad jokes.
Oh, yeah, and then went downhill. Yeah, you're right. It's probably best if we know when we start recording and then, you know.
Now, I think it could work.
It could work, but you are just, you know.
Excuse me?
Huh?
Here he goes again. He hurts me.
No, I don't.
Papa, he hurts me.
I'm not your papa.
You're not my papa. I'm talking to my papa. Papa, this fella hurts me.
Why are we back at this again?
Hey, the audience doesn't know about this. This is between us.
Yeah, that, I guess. It's just, you know.
Just don't react to it.
Yeah, well, that's hard, you know.
Ignore it.
Like, everything turns back into crap or like...
Papa.
But everything also turns back into Western, I guess. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
But talking about crap...
What?
Yeah, I mean... Why do people not give a shit?
Oh, not give a crap. Wow. Yeah. That's a great question. I mean, we don't have the answer to that, right?
Maybe. But let's dive into it because...
Oh my God.
We want to talk about a thing that we noticed. I think the older you get...
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's age related.
I think it is.
And it kind of bothers me, to be honest.
Dude, we're getting older.
Yeah, I know. It's just like it bothers me that when you get older... This happens, you know.
I think it's a quality over quantity thing that you start to notice.
I don't think it's necessarily only age. I think it's also,
of course, not
a specific person, right? Because
I think it's culture too.
Yeah, maybe.
I think some cultures have a priority of quality and effort and stuff like that. Different priorities in their ethics.
Yeah, I mean, it also might be like related to like the current work or living, like how do you call that century we're living in, I guess.
Mm. I don't know. I think if I think back of,
it's just, it feels like I don't know if it's true, but like 50 or whatever plus years ago, people would give a crap, you know.
Oh yeah, back in my day.
But again, that makes me sound old, I guess.
I think we have a skewed view of how life was based on stories of way back then.
Yeah, exactly. Because I'm not necessarily talking about like, I don't know, 10, 20 years ago when I was, you know, aware and alive. But yeah. I mean like even further back, you know.
That's the thing. I have no personal reference. And as you know, memories get very skewed over time and they're also subjective. I've heard that as a child you experience things way more positively anyway, and then the older you get
the more cynical and your
brain just is differently wired. Also, you've had these experiences already. It's like you're repeating the same things over and over.
Maybe we weren't meant to get this old, you know, like in the really
wow.
It's pretty dark, I know, sorry. But like
in the old times,
you know, people weren't getting older than 30 or 40 years. And they wouldn't reach maybe this negative age.
That's an interesting thought.
Right? I just thought of it. Like,
but I've heard that people who are older are on average happier.
Well, I mean, if you don't have to work and you can just do whatever the fuck you want, sure, yeah.
If you can get to that age where you're still physically capable to do whatever you want, well, not everything, but a lot of things you want, like travel, mm-hmm. and you have a lot of money still.
Yeah.
And you're just taking out of your pension.
Yeah, exactly. Your pension is taken care of, I guess.
Which, you know, let's not think about that.
Let's not think about that.
But that's what I'm saying is if you had a guarantee on an okay life as an older person and
you're still mobile, I guess, because when you reach a certain age or like mm-hmm. immobility, then it goes downhill.
Your quality of life
goes downhill pretty fast. Like,
sure, but
a lot of old people want to die, you know, because they are like done with it.
I guess, but I've seen 80-year-old people who are still spry and can move better than I do.
No, that's what I mean. Like, if you are one of those, you are probably really happy and, you know, having the time of your life. Yeah. But when you're one of those who are, you know, immobile mm-hmm. or in a way disabled,
you're
probably done. But
hey, that's why we're taking care of ourselves right now, kind of.
I just ate a fucking chocolate cookie.
That's not bad.
It's
You know what they used to eat?
Like, I always use that excuse, but that's not a good excuse. Like,
no, I think it's an okay excuse. As long as you're eating something that makes you happy, that's also
worth something. Yeah, I guess. It's just, you know,
if your body craves something and you're giving it what it craves.
Yeah, but that's a difficult thing. Like, sometimes you don't know what your body, like, it wants something. But it doesn't necessarily need something.
It doesn't have the communication.
It's like eating junk food, right? Sometimes, like, when you start it, it's like it will keep coming back more and more.
Yeah, you can get addicted to it.
But you don't, your body doesn't need it. I think it's your brain that's kind of lying to you.
I don't know. I don't directly have that that feeling. Mm. Like when I crave junk food, I eat it and then I'm done for the rest of the week.
Okay, that's what that works, I guess.
My body doesn't keep asking for more unless it's like the perfect combination.
Yeah.
And that's dangerous. And I know which foods are like that.
Yeah.
Looking at you, M&Ms.
Oh, no.
But what I'm trying to say is they're still like, it's still calories.
Yeah.
And if you eat them correctly,
it's just, it's also a lot of sugar, right? Yeah. And like processed food, so that's what I'm talking about. But I get what you mean.
I'm just, what I'm trying to say is we shouldn't be worried too much about how we live life as long as we aren't getting sick from it.
Oh yeah,
right, as long as you're still a happy person and you can do whatever you want. Don't overeat, of course, and don't get obese, but mm-hmm. as long as you are happy and you can still do whatever you want, and it's not affecting you too much. Just keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah, it's also difficult. Like, a lot of people think about the future, you know? They are mm-hmm. like, I want to be healthy in the future. But other people live more like, I want to be happy now and don't really care about whatever the consequences are in the future, you know?
There's a balance.
I mean, it depends on the person. Yeah. Everyone has to decide for themselves what's more important, I think, but...
Yeah, I personally like the balanced.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably the best, process. Right? It's like the best health, like mentally and physically, probably the best for you to do it both.
That's the thing. I've seen people who are close to me eat so much and they act happy, mm-hmm. but they're also struggling. They're actually suffering at the same time. Their stomach starts hurting.
Yeah.
They get dizzy. They feel uncomfortable mm-hmm. while they're eating and they keep eating.
Yeah.
And to me, it doesn't seem like they're having a good time. There's a limit to if you notice you're not having a good time anymore, you should just stop yourself right there.
Yeah, but that's difficult. That's, you know,
now that's an addiction.
Yeah, exactly. It's just a lot of people don't necessarily know what that feeling is or what it feels like, and that they should act on it.
Yeah.
Like they might overeat, for example.
And overeating is fine for once or twice, but
yeah, no, but that's
people,
what I mean. Like,
people do it constantly, yeah, or consistently.
I'm talking about consistently,
yeah.
And it's like has become like a, you know, a daily thing. Mm-hmm. Like they don't yeah. even know how to not overeat anymore, you know. But anyway,
yeah,
we wanted to talk about something specifically, I guess.
Yeah, I think this is a good introduction yeah. to how we are not, maybe this is like a global thing where yeah. people are just, it's easy to consume things, easy to forget about what your goals are in life and what you're willing to sacrifice, the effort and time.
Yeah.
Everything costs a bit of effort.
Yeah.
Eating healthy is not easy. Eating a lot of junk food is probably easier. It's mm-hmm. more accessible. It's cheaper. It's this, it's that. You can have so many reasons why junk food is a danger mm-hmm. for society.
Yeah.
And I think being aware of that and stopping yourself is an effort.
Sure.
And maybe that's a good segue to what we're trying to get at.
Yeah. I was also thinking, like, at least in like a Western civilization, mm-hmm. I think a lot of bad food is also like the most, you know, the most heavily promoted stuff, you know,
advertised and stuff. Yeah.
Advertised. Yeah. But also, like, I think our mindset is more in that direction, like easy, quick,
yeah.
you know, not too much effort.
I think they call it instant gratification and yeah. stuff, you know?
Yeah. It's also, I think, why a lot of people, you know, buy a lot of shit, you know?
Consumerism.
Yeah. It's the same with, like, you know, getting a new package or ordering something new mm-hmm. or going to the store yeah. and buying a bag of M&Ms, for example.
The endorphins you get from buying stuff.
Yeah. And I think, I don't know, I'm not a psychologist and I haven't read anything about this, but I think like even social media or like Instagram or mm-hmm. TikTok, I guess, those are all like really short and quick, you know, endorphins, yep. right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think, yeah, I don't know. It feels like we as a Western civilization have become more and more kind of dependent on that.
I think we are riding a constant
high
of yeah. endorphins and just IV dripping ourselves
yeah.
every second. And I notice myself doing that. And I stand up to take a break yeah. and go to the bathroom. I have my phone in my hand.
Yeah, you open like whatever.
Yeah, Instagram. Open a video and just put it on while I'm peeing.
Yeah.
And it's like, I know and I'm aware and I'm kind of disgusted by myself at the same yeah. time because I can't for 1 second focus on the physical now.
Yeah.
And I'm just always distracted.
Yeah, and I think it's easy to say, like, you know, oh, everyone is doing this and we're all overstimulated mm-hmm. and whatever. But I think honestly we are. And
I think I am.
Yeah, I think I am too.
I need to be put on a diet.
Like, I've remodeled my toilet. Really okay. interesting though. But I removed the ceiling. I installed new lights and also installed a light sensor, a new one at least.
Okay.
It's a physical light sensor, so I don't know, it's different than what I had before. But anyway, it's on 7 minutes right now. So after 7 minutes, it will turn off the lights.
Get off your ass.
So
after 7 minutes.
Well, so right now I kind of have like a timer when uh-huh. I'm on the toilet, and I like I just
there's I get no reason,
so,
yeah.
I get so distracted by nothing on the toilet with my phone that I'm like, it goes off and the lights turn off and I'm like, wait, 7 minutes already? Like, yep. What the fuck?
It goes real quick.
It's, I don't know, like...
That's why I always only poo before an appointment. So right. I gotta get off my ass.
Yeah, that's a good one, I guess.
I keep up all my, like, I save it up.
You have to be very quick, like, oh yeah. God, I have to poop now, go,
it's like
go.
Like speed running.
Yeah, that's best. Like, the shorter toilet times are better for your body too, like...
I mean, yeah... But it also means that you've been eating healthy, because the longer it takes, usually the unhealthier your bowel movement is.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean.
But like, you can't force yourself to have a specific time.
No, no, no. It's fine if it takes a bit longer because of yeah. whatever reason. It's just
it's gonna be dark in there.
Just yeah. After 7 minutes, it's pitch black. No, but it's just like when I finally install that thing, I'm like, whoa, 7 minutes. And I wave to the sensor and it goes on again. Yeah. And I'll sit there again for a few more minutes.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know. It's not necessarily the thing we wanted to talk about, but it's just interesting that we are like...
I think it might be a big impact of why we are why we can't keep our focus enough to put in the time and effort to, you know, our point is maybe society is changing as well to a, if we all crave instant gratification, why are we going to spend time, money, and energy on things that are maybe more qualitative, but they take longer? I'm just give me a cookie instead of a homemade sourdough sandwich.
Yeah, it feels like we're all just constantly in a rush for we don't even know what exactly. But like, especially I notice it on the road, you know, when driving, also on the street or wherever, like even in the store, you notice that a lot of people are like always in a rush for some reason. And I don't want to be a weeb again, but when I went to Japan, I found it so interesting that all those people, they are, you know, I know they are overworked. They are, you know,
they're crunching.
There's a lot of like mental issues in Japan because of people overworking, like staying late till 9 or 10.
Yeah, they don't have a healthy work life
balance. Yeah. And I think we, maybe I'm wrong, but maybe we as a Western civilization have more, you know, learned that, to learn how to, you know, talk about emotions and deal with that. And
it's not a taboo to say, hey, I don't feel very productive today.
Yeah. And like,
I think in Japan, it's, you can't even say that, right?
Yeah. My girlfriend was listening to a podcast on the plane to Japan about, you know, someone who came from Japan and lived in Europe or something for a few years and then went back. And the main thing she noticed was that in Japan, no one talks about their emotions, or when they are struggling with something, they don't talk to friends about like, oh,
not even to friends.
No, they're not like, oh, I'm having a bad day because this, you know. So you're all just keeping it inside.
Yep.
And I think we, you know, we know how to express more than compared to that. But what my point was is that what I noticed in Japan, they don't have a lot of time. They're also like really busy and working a lot. But if you look at what they like eat and create for like a lunch or dinner or like breakfast, holy shit,
that's a ritual, right?
Yes, they take like hours to prepare something, and then they like carefully eat it, and you know, it's a whole thing. They don't go to the supermarket and grab like us, I guess,
or a bag of bread slices
and slap
tuna salad.
Yeah, slap how do you call it, a slice of cheese on it, you know. they don't do that, and I found that so interesting that like, for some reason, we don't make time for that, for stuff like that. Yeah. Or we think we're really busy, but they can do it. So what happened?
I don't know. I feel like it's also a cultural thing maybe where like Asian cultures have a kind of sense of pride of their food, even at home.
They respect everything, and they also have like how to call those spirits or entities, I guess, for, you know, even for food.
Yeah.
So like everything is a being, I guess, and it has a soul or in some sort of way. So they're really respectful with everything, but that also creates like how to call it a thought or like a mental state where everyone is really, you know, everyone takes care of everything, and they're like really, you know, they want to create quality over quantity, and they are not like afraid to, you know, at restaurants, for example, they have like queues outside before you go in. And like here in the Netherlands, at least, there's never a queue in outside, at least.
Depends.
Like there might be like, you have to wait, but you wait inside with a drink, you know.
I've seen some, but they're usually Asian places.
Well, there you go.
Just ramen places, popular ramen places in Rotterdam and Amsterdam.
Yeah, okay. So, but I think that's
you get
like
queues outside.
I don't know. It's because food takes a while in Japan to create more than in the Netherlands, I guess, or like the Western part. Like, I think people they take a lot of time and effort, and you know, they wanted to make something that's quality, and it takes more time. So yes, it will take long before you know.
I think just being more aware of what the process is of consuming adds a lot to the ritual.
Yeah.
I think what we have in Western society is we value other things. I think we also know how to relax and slow down, but it's at other moments, and we choose to live a very hectic, stressful life for a long time and then choose to splurge like 1 or 2 weeks a year on a holiday.
Yeah.
Or just have a completely separate lifestyle between work and personal lifestyle.
Yeah.
So I think, honestly, I don't know what's healthier or what's better or anything. I don't have an opinion about that. It's just, I think in the Western society, there is just a different way to approach enjoying life.
Yeah.
And the ritual style means you have to prepare things, you have to plan things, you have to have thought of things, which I think in Western society, people want to keep that to work. They don't want to feel like they're putting in effort when they are relaxing.
Well,
they want it to be done as much as possible.
Yeah, but I feel like even at work, a lot of people don't put in any effort, you know?
Well, that's another point. I'm trying to see, like, why don't we take that time to create a moment for ourselves?
Yeah.
When we're cooking, I mean, Kaylee and I spend a bit more time than average, I think, in the Netherlands. But a lot of people I know are just, you know, they just buy pasta and throw some
or
ragu on it, and that's it.
Like from a can or something. Yeah, I know.
And that's their dinner, and which is
it's fine. Yeah,
but I don't know, to me, I get pleasure out of figuring out ingredients, figuring out ways to do things, cutting things manually, enjoying the structure, the sound,
just the process. Yeah,
process of it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be perfect all the time. Sometimes I just order pizza. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, that's fine too. I'm not like saying that one thing is better than the other too. Like, it's just different. And that I find it very interesting the way, I don't know, it feels rushed here. Mm-hmm. And even though, again, in Japan, everyone is also busy and rushed, it doesn't feel like everyone is rushed. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but that's, again, because they take the time to spend time in the process, I think.
Yeah.
In the end, maybe spending 2 hours preparing stuff was probably not the best idea if you're already overworked.
Yeah.
But that's time management. But they might be getting enjoyment out of it. That's their way of relaxing and de-stressing.
Yeah.
And like having a moment for themselves, being completely focused on a simple task.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
And
well, I think they also, like a lot of people get pleasure out of, like you, get pleasure out of the process itself and doing it like very meticulously and, you know, carefully. Mm-hmm. And
but I think, again, that's a cultural thing and maybe an upbringing thing.
Yeah, I think so too. It's just, I don't know. I don't think that it's healthy for us to keep doing this. Like
rushing everything.
Yeah, like grabbing a pack of pasta and some ragu from a can and just, you know, gobbling it up in 5 minutes, or like heating up in the microwave and then just
Focusing on gaming or
the
show.
Yeah. I think like we should spend maybe our 7 minute toilet time. We should spend that on other things, you know. That's
And I don't disagree with that. I think that's the thing that comes with age as well. When I was younger, I cared more about spending time with other people, being involved socially.
Yeah.
Always having, always being, getting the best out of everything in a way that I expected other people to do the research and the processing for me.
Yeah.
So maybe that's also a thing of Western society, is we have so many things that make life easier, that we don't have to care much about the process. So Why do I focus on getting pleasure out of that if I can get, maybe for me, easier and more pleasure out of something simpler?
Yeah.
Like putting on a show or...
or opening TikTok or Instagram.
Yeah, or just going out with friends or having a drink or whatever. Mm-hmm. Going outside, having a coffee instead of, you know, doing research, finding the beans and stuff.
Yeah.
It costs effort, and then in the end, you might not even like it that much. Mm-hmm. I think the learning process is something that we want to skip because we're afraid to spend effort that we don't get back.
Maybe. I don't know. It's like, it's just when you look at like a restaurant here in the Netherlands, it doesn't feel like someone is putting in any effort. Like, I mean, they are putting in some effort, I guess.
I know what you're saying, but it's the whole process, though.
Yeah,
it's not even the chef, you know.
No, sure.
The whole process of it.
But the chef is like a cog in the whole thing, you know. And if someone slacks off in you know, in one area, then everyone else slacks off, you know.
You can depend on each other.
You can get like world's best like vegetables from someone who like really takes care of everything, but then the chef just slaps it in a bowl and, you know,
just blends it and then makes
it. Yeah, put it on a plate and it's like, well, done now.
Well, that is kind of like five-star dining.
But that's the thing, right?
They blend everything, make a weird like gelatinous
Just
foamy
like
thing,
little drips of green whatever,
sea foam, spinach, olive oil infused,
but foamy butter, whatever. Yeah,
delicious. I'm hungry still.
Yeah,
but yeah, I don't know. I feel that's a good point. I think maybe it is a vicious circle where when they were younger, when people are younger and they live at home, I hear a lot of friends who say, oh, my parents really don't know how to cook. They suck at cooking.
Yeah.
And I hear the stuff they make.
Yeah.
Like the not the ingredients alone, but also the process, like just grabbing a can of tuna and throwing it on like undercooked rice and stuff. What the hell?
I've heard like so many people talk about their parents and their cooking, and they were like, they just boiled potatoes and they put on like vegetables and like
steamed vegetables. And
did they put in any like herbs or like, I don't know, spices in any way? And they're like, no, just, you know, not even salt or pepper or something like that. Just like cooked potato with whatever, kale.
Yep. And that's what I'm saying is, I think it's it perpetuates itself when that's your upbringing. It's when people, like they see their mom go to the grocery store, buy stuff, prepare it, and then the end result is not even satisfying.
Yeah.
They're like, why am I even spending time and effort doing this? I'm just gonna, like, they would go out with friends or with family, and the food at the restaurant would be so much better because it has a tiny bit more salt.
Yeah, there's pepper and salt all this. Yeah, exactly.
And they become way more intrigued by just not spending that effort anymore at home and just spending it somewhere else.
I don't believe that that's the problem, or like,
I think it's part of it because your upbringing, your
no, but I mean,
relationship
like,
with food from a younger age, and the processing of buying food, the process of buying food and preparing it and then eating it freshly made, that should be very satisfying. And I think when you have the right recipe, like in Japan, people adhere to recipes and stuff, not necessarily like to the letter, but they know that, okay, when I make rice, I do this, I prepare like this. They have their meticulous ways of preparing food.
And I mean, it also does, like, how do you call that? It does transfer to from parent to child, you know, like recipes or like specific ways of cooking. Sure. But I just find it very interesting that I hear a lot of like people telling about their parents with the potatoes and the kale, you know.
Yeah.
But and then they themselves, they do cook, you know, more or better or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I can't imagine that when they get children, they will also boil potatoes and kale, you know.
Yeah, it might be a generational.
But I find it so interesting thing. That like it's not like the last, I don't know, 40, 50 years suddenly there was a food, you know, boom or whatever. Like, good food has been, you know, in the world forever. I mean, like, maybe, like, Dutch culture in general has a bad history with food. But I find it, I'm just very confused about it, that's all. Because,
I don't know.
We as, like, Dutch people are known for their, like, spices and, you know, all that, the famous shit.
We hoard that shit and sell it, yes.
Like, slaves and spices, that's our, like, specialty, I guess. But I find it so interesting that when you go to a Dutch, like an average Dutch person, and you open the drawer, there's like 50 spices in there, and then they cook like, I don't know,
the simplest things.
Overcooked white rice with tuna, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm just very confused by all that.
There is an educational part that Dutch people get educated about food and food cultures, and there is a good influx of other cultures like Indonesian, Suriname, Yeah. There's the last like 30 years, Turkish, Moroccan, like Middle Eastern.
Like, of course, it also has gotten more accessible, you know, by, you know, internet and social media. So, I kind of understand, but yeah.
I think there is enough to get inspiration for a good meal.
Right now there is. Yeah, sure. And it's just, I still feel like a lot of people just don't give a shit about, you know, spending effort into things, like not even necessarily food, but like work in general. It feels like a lot of people are like kind of just slacking, you know, or not doing their job properly. Yeah.
It's funny because you mentioned Japan, but I think my girlfriend had a culture shock when she got here and found a job. And the first, she still is afraid to talk about taking time off. When she feels sick, she feels bad for taking time off.
Yeah.
You know, she doesn't want to call or send the manager a message and say, hey, I don't feel good, I can't work.
Yeah.
She feels bad about that because the culture, the work ethics in the US were way more strict.
Yeah.
They were all
You don't have time for that. Like, no. So, oh, you're sick, so when are you going to work?
Yeah. It's like, when are you going to, if you're going to take time off, you only have a few sick days as well. It's so weird. Like in the Netherlands, there is technically possibly a limit, but not officially by law.
Yeah.
But in the US, I think they can just enforce that. So you can only have X amount of sick days per year. If you're more sick than that, then...
You also don't get paid, is that correct?
Correct.
Yeah, that's also very strange, of course, but...
You don't get paid time off.
Yeah.
If you're going on holiday, that's your own
time. Yeah, that's your own problem.
Yeah. So yeah, that kind of stuff. It's just... I think when she got to the Netherlands, it made her... It confused her most of all. Mm-hmm. How are people working here? Because half the time they're not even working when she's at the office. People are just chatting. And if you look at the amount of hours worked per day, I would say I myself am not even at 100. Like, no way, I'm at 100%. I'm at most I'm 80%.
Yeah.
And most days I'm like 65-70% of my time I'm actually working. The rest I'm doing work-related things, but it's not actual production.
But I think that's fine. I mean, it's even healthy, I guess.
I think it's a good thing.
Like working 8 or even more hours a day is like, you know, that's the maximum. You shouldn't do that. Like, I'm a very strong believer that we should all work 6 hours a day maximum, because after a few hours, and I think around 5-6, your concentration just goes out of the window, and there's nothing productive coming out of it anymore. Yeah. So why would you even like pretend to be work? Some people can do 8 hours or more, that's fine, but the problem I have a lot of times is that even in those hours people are not very, you know, they're not trying.
I've seen that too. I've it's funny because I've noticed it more with older people.
Interesting.
But there's probably
like they've given up.
There's probably a bias, you know. I've seen people who are almost going with pension, how do you say that?
They're
almost
retiring.
Yeah. And they know they can just, they have a contract, an indefinite contract. If they get fired, it's more hassle for the company.
Yeah.
And if they work, they don't really care. So it's they're just spending their last years just doing nothing and chilling and drinking coffee and looking at the weather forecast and reading the news on the computer.
But it's just, I think that, I mean, you're talking about an older person, and I kind of, I mean, you get it. Like, you're at the end of your whole career or your whole life working, and you're kind of done with it, you know?
Sure.
But I think I see it happening more and more with younger people too, that there are already, like, they don't even start working hard. They start, like, you know, being lazy or tired or whatever, and just not really giving a shit about everything. And there might be more, you know, more issues underneath, and just, you know, there might be, I don't know, depressed, and also like COVID threw in a wrench to a lot of people's mental state and lives, you know.
True.
So I get it. It's just, I find it so, I don't know. It feels like we're not doing our best, and that's all. And we don't necessarily need to do our best constantly, you know. We all have our ups and downs, but
I think maybe it's also, younger generations have kind of, you know, it's not a meme. the state of the future.
Yeah.
For younger generations is
It's pretty bleak.
It's pretty bleak.
Yeah.
And I think they're aware of that because of social media, and they do research themselves, and they know that in 30, 40 years, there's not a, like, if this trend keeps going with the environment and economy and like all the social political issues that we have, if this keeps going in 40 years, there's probably nothing left that we care about anymore.
Yeah. And
so,
and the problem that, like, what happens with those younger people, but also older people, and their like disconnect, I guess, from everything, is that we all are getting more selfish about everything. And I think like the election results also kind of display that issue we have, I think. But I find it very strange that, yes, we are getting more selfish and we are getting more, you know, internally. But then again, I compare it to Japan, for example, where everyone is also being selfish, or like not selfish, but they're like
focusing on themselves.
Yes, but what they all do is there's like a community. Like everyone takes care of each other. Everyone, you know, when you're in the bus or tram or whatever in Japan, everyone is quiet because they don't want to disturb other people, you know. And here it's just, well, I want to blast my rap in the metro, you know. I'm just going to turn on my phone and put it on the loudest volume. I find it very interesting how different, you know, cultures deal with the same problem, kind of, in a different way.
Yeah, it's interesting.
And I get, like, there's like generations of, you know, completely different ways of living. And like the Japanese way of being more like...
courteous.
Yeah, and more like taking care of things and being, you know, quality over quantity and all that stuff. That does translate to, you know, caring more about other people. And
I'm a firm believer in upbringing.
Yeah,
it's just how parents bring their children up.
I mean, to a certain degree, right?
Of course, then society should take over, and there's societal norms, societal rules.
Yeah, and it's also very difficult to raise your child, I think, you know, with a certain mindset or way of living when the rest of your environment is totally different.
100%. That's one of the things that, you know, is hard for migrants or immigrants to focus. Like my parents, for example, they wanted us to be a certain kind of person.
Yeah.
It's just hard to get us there if we get all these distractions and all these other ways of living, and there's no actual... I don't know, there's no social net that keeps you in those bounds. If you get the freedom for everything, then people will be interested, and some people will take that freedom. They will overstep those boundaries. And I think in the Netherlands, maybe that's one of the things, is there's too much social freedom in how people can and are allowed to live their lives. It's this sounds really bad.
It feels like there's no social pressure from each other.
Yeah,
you know,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, and I think that's a big thing in Japan, at least, that there is a very big social pressure on everything. Like your whole life is you know, judged by everyone, and I think that's also not a healthy way to live. But it does help with, you know, creating a specific kind of nice people.
I think that, you know, being part of society also means that you're supposed to, at least in my opinion, contribute and
take care.
You're there to maintain it as well.
Yeah,
you're taking part of society, you want to be useful. And I think some people just don't know what that is. I think people focus on themselves too much, where their only goal is to get the best pleasure out of life, and that's it.
For themselves.
If I want to listen to music loudly, I'll just put it on. Is there the police isn't going to stop me. No one's going to call the police about this.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do it. And if nobody else gives a fuck, and my...
I honestly don't even think that they think about any of that. Like they
I think the first few times they will.
Yeah, maybe.
They'll feel like I want to say shame, but they would feel the
judgments, maybe.
Yeah, they would know that they impact other people. they 100% know that they do.
I mean, I hope. It's just sometimes it feels like no one does.
But eventually, if you do it once or twice and people are like, ah, oh, man, they're having a bad day, let them listen to their music loudly. Mm-hmm. If they keep doing that and then they just do it every single time, yeah, then it becomes so normalized that they don't care anymore.
Yeah.
They're not even thinking about it anymore.
And it also does kind of, you know, amplify it to others as well. Yep. Because when someone is sitting close by and who was thinking about, oh, I should also just blast my mm-hmm. music, and one does it and no one says
anything.
That's
what I'm saying, yeah.
They're like, well, I'll do it next time because, you know, no one gives a shit. Yeah, so
no one gives a shit. Yeah. I let them do it, so next time I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
That's also a thing.
Yeah.
I think there should be... I don't want to enforce my lifestyle on other people, but
yeah,
I've been wanting to tell people, can you shut up? You know, like, you're too loud, or like, you might, your life, I don't want to be this rude, but your life isn't that interesting.
Yeah.
You can just talk less loud. I don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
But that I can't do that because people will start fighting me.
Yeah.
they like, I'm not doing anything wrong. Just, if you don't want to hear it, just put on your headphones or something.
And I think, like, I've never been to the States, so I don't know how it is there, but I can imagine it's the same over there. The freedom of speech and the whole, you know, God bless me and mm-hmm. our country, I guess. Mm-hmm. I think, yeah, it's very interesting that also, I think, an issue over there that a mm-hmm. lot of people are, you know, claiming or like, how do you call that? They're like, it is my right to, you know, be loud when I want to be loud, you know? And I if I want to put my foot on the seating in the bus, I'm, you know, I'm going to do it because who are you?
Yeah.
I'm allowed to do this, you know? I have freedom. And I think we, at least in the Netherlands, we do exactly the same thing, but mm-hmm. we, you know, we don't put it under the freedom umbrella. I mean, not that vocally as in the States.
No. No, in the States, it's you know, part of the Constitution.
It's like...
It's one of the first things, and people... It's almost humorous to me.
Yeah, I find it hilarious. Yeah. That, I don't know. It's of course, freedom is important for everyone, you know, but freedom is not, you know, annoying other people and being a dick about it.
That's my motto, is you can take your freedom, but if you're impacting other people's lives in any form, it's... You know, you have to check your boundaries.
But also, like, you can flip that the other way, right? Like, your freedom is impacting my freedom. Yep. So now what?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. As long as you're not affecting other people's lives with your freedom, whatever you're doing, then sure, go ahead. But that's why it's also, you know, like, being loud is a very interesting point. It's, yes, you're allowed to be loud. You can go I don't know, find you can rent a like a jamming room where you can go jam with your band and be as loud as you want. I've done that. I've screamed my lungs out where I taste of blood. Because it's there for that. And I know, like, some people just take that right of being loud and put it everywhere. And technically, you're allowed to be loud. It's just there's a limit to what is okay.
Well, and it feels like those people don't know the limit or ignore the limit, at least. I don't know.
I think they, again, you said in the US, they claim it under, you know, it's my right for freedom, blah, blah, blah. I think in the Netherlands, it's the same mentality. It's just they don't say it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the same
thought process. We don't say it's our freedom, but we... You know,
we say it about racist things. So.
Yes.
when we're racist, we just...
Yeah.
I mean, I've been... Personally, I've also been... how do you say that? I've been... Is there a word for that? I guess, like, prejudged people?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Like, I've had prejudice against people. Mm-hmm. And the things I think about and the things I feel... I don't feel directly bad about that. I'm aware that I'm, you know, I have prejudice.
Yeah.
But I know that I'm allowed to have this thought process and this thinking. And I would maybe say, like, I would maybe say something that might sound racist, but I know my limits. I know when I'm actually racist and affecting other people's views.
Yeah.
That's another thing, is you can be racist all you want, keep it to yourself. Mm. You know, if you want to be racist, you can be, but keep it to yourself. if you're going to share that racism and make other people hate a specific culture or person,
yeah,
that's, to me, that's the limit.
Well, yeah.
The sharing of the hate towards a specific ethnicity.
Yeah. I mean, there are more limits, I think, yeah, in that, but sure, yeah.
That's like one of the biggest things that I hate in politics right now, because, mm-hmm, yeah, it's your freedom to speak whatever you want.
Yeah.
But you're affecting other people's thought process, mm-hmm, and their judgment of other people.
Yeah.
And that, to me, is not okay.
The problem is that a lot of those, I don't know necessarily a lot of those people, but, you know, those people might also not change their view on things. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the biggest problem.
Sure.
Like, you can be, you know, judgmental or, mm-hmm, racist, I guess, about something. Mm-hmm. But if you're not even, you know, open for any like feedback or new inputs or like maybe something that changes your, yeah, view, I think a lot of people are so fixated on something, and then they just don't care about all the, mm-hmm, other things. So, yep. I think, again, it's the same with like people on the bus or tram or whatever. They, mm-hmm, are so focused on themselves, and that they don't really, like, my mindset a lot of times, and I think this is not the best mindset for me necessarily, but it's best for society, I guess, is would I do what I'm doing to someone else? Would I, you know, would I also let someone else do that to me? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm trying to like reflect, yeah, a lot and think like, should I talk to someone like this way? And I'm like, no, I wouldn't like it if they would talk to me like that, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to reflect, yeah, and then I don't know, kind of, you know, that way know what I can and can't do, you know.
Yeah, that's
like, would I like it if someone was blasting like very loud music on the metro? No, so I don't do it.
Yep.
that's how I, yeah, take a lot of, you know.
No, that's what I don't know. I feel like that's also some part of it is how you've, you know, how your parents raised you.
Yeah.
But a big part of it is also just how you reflect, as you say, on, yeah, yourself, and take things that you might want to do. I might want to play my music, but,
yeah,
I know that I get annoyed when other people play their music. So, yeah, why would I play my music that loud? So I agree with that thought process. And honestly, it feels like some people either lack the empathy or, mm, they just don't know that this process exists almost. That's how it seems.
Yeah.
But I don't believe in that. I don't believe that people are that insensitive.
I think a lot of people don't reflect, you know, they don't think about what they're doing, or like they don't, yeah, really, you know, think about, oh, why would someone else be annoyed by my music? You know, it doesn't come up in their brains, you know.
Maybe not, but that feels to me like that there is a lack of
effort
from yeah, from them, from their parents, from society.
Yeah, yeah.
They should be taught this way of thinking.
Yeah.
And either school, either the parents, friends, mm-hmm, anyone that could have an impact on their life, because, yeah, they wouldn't take it from a random stranger.
No, of course not.
If you would tell them, hey, can it be quieter? They'd be like, no, shut up.
Yeah, no. And they get stabbed.
Maybe. But, I mean, to maybe conclude this, because we kind of took a few turns, right? We,
yeah,
we started with food, and, uh-huh, then we went with, I think, we talked about raising children, mm-hmm, and cultural phenomena that affect why people put in effort.
Yeah.
And we also went a bit into the politics.
Sure, yeah. It's all effort related, yeah, in my opinion, but yeah.
Yeah, and we also talked a bit about the future for the newer generations, the, mm-hmm, younger generations, how, you know, why would they, like, why do they seem to not put in any effort anymore?
Yeah.
And there is a legitimate reason. It's just, how do you make them understand that still putting in effort is still the best way to cope with this?
And also the best for themselves, yeah, you know.
It might not be the solution.
Yeah, but like it helps a lot.
Yes.
And of course, we are not saying that it's only the young generation that's like, you know, not putting in enough effort. I think like every generation or every person is not everyone, but a lot of people are not putting in any effort, and they should, because it's, you know, it decides and changes the future for everyone.
Yeah. I think just, you know, as one of the things that you kind of start to learn more, I hope, when you get older, as at least that happened to me a bit. It's my focus shifted from being, you know, fixated on maximizing pleasure and maximizing my endorphin intake.
Yeah.
You know, when you're still a teenager, still young, and you want to experience things, you want to find out how things work, you want to be an anarchist, you want to
yeah,
you know,
you want to be loud.
Yeah, you want to be loud. I get that, but once you settle down a bit and your hormones calm down, to me at least, I noticed that I started to reflect more. I started to emphasize, be more emphatic with people. I started to look at things their way and understand that they come from a different angle, and that, you know, they might not have the same mental capacity or even the same experiences as I have.
Yeah.
And that's okay. And I have to figure out a way to be social with them. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to ignore them.
Yeah.
You know, same with my parents, same with other people that I don't understand, my neighbor. Mm-hmm. I don't fully understand them, but I do keep respecting them for them as a person, because the only way forward is to cooperate. Otherwise, we're not a society anymore.
Yeah, we're all just individual, and it's going to be total anarchy.
Yeah. Yeah. And honestly, I like it when I put in effort and I see another person enjoy what I did.
Yeah, but there's
That to me is like one of the best pleasures in life.
There are a lot of people who, you know, who get all those pleasures from, you know, making themselves happy with whatever is necessary and not caring about others.
So, yeah, but that's the thing. It's maybe teaching other people to figure out. Like, I think this pleasure might. Okay, this might be a bit weird, and I don't want to keep this episode too long, but I think we have an instinctual push towards being social.
Yeah.
I hope so, and I think some people are differently wired, sure, but I think in general people are made, or we've evolved a certain way to get pleasure out of helping others and being part of society and being a good citizen, in a way where, you know, we don't have to be drones, but we can definitely look out for each other and focus on maximizing pleasure for everyone and not just ourselves. In the end, we get it back, you know, like some people say karma. I just think effort,
well,
energy.
Like, even if you don't necessarily get something back, you still get at least some satisfaction from it, right?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, when people say, why do you like cooking for me? I'm like, because I'm an egoist and I like to show off. And in the end, I like it when you enjoy it.
Yeah.
It gives me a boost. It's like, I'm still, the reasoning is still to make myself happy.
Yeah.
If you like boil it down.
Yeah. Like the nicest thing is making someone else happy makes you happy.
That's, I think, like, yeah, you just have to find the way to do that.
Yeah.
And some people, you know, cooking is a good one, but other people might do it through their job. Yeah, that's a really beautiful way to get there too.
Yeah. And some people only care about their own happiness, so that's
I still think you can trigger that social instinctual thing. I just think you have to be educated towards that. You have to, you know, it's like an addiction.
Yeah.
Because of all the endorphins, they think that once they settle down, they focus on something that's not on themselves.
Yeah.
It feels weird and empty, and they're not getting the satisfaction directly.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, is they have to be educated towards, like, they have to be rewired.
Yeah. But, yeah. So,
Addiction does that, you know?
Yeah, it's sure. Like, it's just, I think it's also, societal thing, yeah. You know, like culture. That's what I mean, mm-hmm. like a cultural thing. So that's yeah. not something that will just change.
No, somebody. It won't change.
I mean, I like really that. Wish we could. But sadly, yeah. it's not like we put on a few like ads or banners down yeah. the road and online on TV or whatever. Say like, hey, you have to be nicer to people. And
that's
like,
what they do, right? Yeah. You've seen that like churches do that
yeah.
and political parties do that.
Yeah, but it doesn't work. Like you can so you can say people have to be a certain way, but that's not yeah. how, you know.
No, that's what
it's through actions. That's the only way to
yeah.
evolve in this.
Yeah, but again, I think they just to get my point across, yeah. I think there should be an outside influence yeah, on people.
Absolutely.
And it won't come from them naturally sometimes. Mm-hmm. I agree with that. It's if you find a drug addict,
yeah.
they won't suddenly be like, ah, today is the day I'm going to get sober.
Yeah.
That's not how it works. You have to have some pressure, outward pressure. Mm-hmm. And that might come from society, might come from work, might yeah. come from friends. But in the end, you have to... Like if you know someone and you know they're you know going in a certain direction where you feel like oh they're actually getting disconnected from society, disconnected yeah. from their friend group,
you should try and pull them back in.
Yeah, like help them find a thing that keeps them happy.
Yeah,
in the long run, without being you know focused on food.
Yeah,
social media consumption, stuff like that. It's hard though.
Yeah, I don't know. The easiest thing, I think you see it a lot or hear it a lot, mm-hmm. I guess, is people saying like change starts with you, right? Yep. And
yeah, but that's what I'm saying is
yeah.
when you as a person who is capable mm-hmm. and is aware that something is wrong,
yeah.
start with you. Ask yourself, what can I do?
Yes,
instead
exactly.
of asking others, what can you do?
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
It's if you know that someone is in need of help,
mm-hmm.
don't ask them, hey, do you need help? Just help them.
Yeah.
Because they'll probably say no if they're in a bad place. Anyway.
Yeah.
This felt good.
Yeah, it's nice to get off our chest, I guess. Yeah, I don't know. I think everyone should be nice to each other in whatever way.
That's the true holiday spirit.
Yeah, it's a nice Christmas miracle, I guess.
Mm.
No, I truly believe that a lot of listeners, or maybe all listeners, I don't know, are already good people probably, but there's still a lot of people who are not, and you know, we mm-hmm. should all still keep our chins up and try to help each other and make the world a better place.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's not necessarily for ourselves, because you know, you can't always help yourself with some things, you know,
mm-hmm.
but try and do it for someone else then.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that sentiment.
So I guess happy holidays?
I don't know. Is this the last episode before the... No, probably not.
Not?
But we have a few more weeks.
Well, still happy holidays, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a very...
thematic.
Yeah.
yeah. Appropriate, that's it.
Very appropriate topic for the holidays. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good way to end the year. And
sure.
Like in general, I think it's good to reflect on the year. That's I think what we did with the last episode too.
Yeah.
And reflection is a good way to also find things for the future. Figure out your future.
Yeah. Figure out what works and doesn't work for you and how you can improve those mm-hmm. things also.
Yep.
Yeah.
Make There's yourself... another tip for you.
Yeah.
Just slam it in there.
Yes. You know, overwork.
Yeah, just focus on your monetary gains. Get a place that you can feel proud of, and yeah. Fuck the rest of the world.
yeah, sure.
That's my take. That's what I learned today.
Yeah, fuck everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
With consent.
With consent, yeah.
Have a good one.
Yeah, thank you for listening and watching, maybe. And the episode is probably going to be published like over a year, so in a year.
It's up to you, you know, yeah, put in some effort.
I have like a backlog of 8 episodes, so it's going to take a while. But yeah, thank you, and we'll see you in the next one. Bye.